Welcome to a very, very belated podcast. Not done one in a very long time. I'm doing one actually from a Range Rover Evoked today. Apologise for the Billy Joel. That song actually reminds me of one thing. It reminds me of a New Year's Eve weekend where we went to see the New Year's Eve in the middle of nowhere in Exmoor at this very ramshackle hotel. And we thought it would be a laugh. We took our then girlfriends, me and my best mate Dan. Dan was in his Rover 214. I've forgotten what I was in. I think it was a Polo Coupe Mark II. And no, it wasn't. No, it was a Toyota Corolla Verso long-termer that I had. Anyway, not interesting. What was interesting was that we got totally snowed in overnight. And they had no heating in the hotel. And when we were seeing the New Year in, the barman was letting us just make any cocktails we wanted. But the only music that they had was a Billy Joel double album, Best Of. And so, I kid you not, we drank in the bar for something like 7 or 8 hours only listening to Billy Joel. So now Billy Joel just reminds me of making up horrible cocktails and getting massively pissed on New Year's Eve. I think it would have been about 1998... No, 2001. 2001, I reckon. Yeah, maybe 2002. Whenever the Corolla Verso came out, frankly. Welcome to the podcast. I'm doing it from a vehicle, hands-free, of course. The Evoque. I'm in the Evoque. Now, the main reason why it's prompted me to just suddenly record a new podcast is because I've been feeling guilty about not doing one, but B, I've just filled up the tank. And I've been chatting to the guy behind the counter at this Texaco garage. Other garages are, of course, available. And whilst I was refilling my car, getting another load of diesel inside the Evoque, there were three people that were queuing to fill up their car. And yet there were two spare pumps. And this is the thing, I'm sure we've had this conversation before on Twitter. It's, who are these people that drive into a fuel station, okay? They need fuel. And instead of selecting reverse and just reversing up to a pump that's free, they sit and wait like utter lemmings behind someone who's filling up because they want to just fill up on the side that their filler is. Or they just don't think to reverse. It's like their brain gets melted and they just can't work out what to do.
I just don't know what to do. I mean, I've just driven into this fuel station and, well, there's two spare pumps. They're on the wrong side of the car. I don't know what to do.
What is it? What is it with the people? Not only that, but we live in a world of trying to save fuel and stop start. Well, they just sit there with their engines running. Yeah, they just sit there with their engines running. Some woman, I gesticulated to a lady that was gesticulated and said, look, there's a spare pump there, as if she, you know, maybe she hadn't noticed. And she just looked at me and nodded and then carried on waiting in her A3 convertible. Well, it's totally beyond me. I just don't understand it. I think there should be a law. So when I chatted to the guy at the fuel station when I was paying for said fuel, I said, what's the deal with this? Seriously, what is the deal with people who just sit and wait when there's spare pumps? He said, oh yes, that happens all the time. He said, and I've noticed that some people will only use one pump. He said, they're in a habit, they're in a rut. And when they come to fill up at his fuel station, they only choose one pump. And if that pump is being used, or there's one person behind it, sometimes two or three people will queue for the same pump. So I think that there must be some sort of mental state of mind, mental breakdown when it comes to filling up with fuel. I dread to think what's going to happen when most people start driving electric cars. They're going to start, I don't know, licking their fingers and putting them in the sockets, or forgetting to turn the switch on, or something like that. Talking of electric, I do embrace new technology, I have to say, when it comes to vehicles, that kind of stuff. And I've bought an electric car. Yes, I have. No, I haven't bought a Leaf, although it is good. No, I haven't bought an iMeV, even though it's not very good. I've bought a 70s electric car. It's an Enfield. It's a British electric car made in the early to mid 70s. Not more than about 120 were made. It was very expensive. That's the reason why it wasn't commercially successful. It wasn't a bad car, as it happens. And these days there's not many on the road. But after a long-winded search, I found one, and I've bought one. And I'm going to make it faster. Quite a lot faster. So watch this space. Oh, it appears to be in a Skoda Scout Octavia ambulance just gone past. Really on it as well. Properly on it. Nice. Good cars. So yeah, if you want to know more about my electric car project, go to the website, which is flux-capacitor.co.uk. Yes, the thing from Back to the Future, the fictitious power generation thing. I've called it that for a few reasons, but they're not that interesting at the moment. What is interesting is that the car has a tubular steel space frame, and it's got an aluminium body, and although when it was new it weighed 975 kilos, with modern technology we're going to get that right down, and it's going to be significantly more powerful. We're going for a twin motor setup. We're going for either lithium ion or LiPo battery cells. Obviously it's rear wheel drive, ludicrously short wheelbase. I think it's 60 inches or 66 inches. It's going to be a right handful. The aim is to keep it a street car, make sure it's still a street car so it's tax exempt, but also I want to use it on the drag strip. I am hunting down Teslas as we speak. Okay, moving on. This is the first podcast of 2012, which I'm ashamed to say because it's cracking on. It's nearly summer. In terms of my own cars, people are always asking me about what my own cars are doing, blah, blah, blah. Well, my daily driver is, well, has been up until very recently, my Audi Coupe, my 83 Audi Coupe GT, 2.2 injection. But I'm also running this Range Rover Evoque as well, which I got but a week ago. Done just over 500 miles, because it does do 500 miles to a tank, so I've just brimmed it this morning, as I've told you. Hence the conversation about fuel. It's still really annoying me. I just don't understand it. Maybe we should print up a sign which we can hold up. So while we're filling our cars up with petrol or diesel or LPG, we can hold up a sign which says, there's a spare pump over there. Maybe there's an arrow. Or one of those big foam hands like the ones from the audience in Gladiators, where we can just point at them and then point at the pump, just to sort of make them feel a bit stupid, in the hope that they might go, yeah, maybe I am being a bit of a dick. Maybe I should just use the pump that's already available and not just sit here with my engine running for 10 minutes waiting for a really old person to fumble around and fill up their Suzuki Alto and then go in the shop and go to the toilet. And this is the thing. It's not just waiting for someone to fill up with fuel. It's then they go in the shop. And then they go, oh, look, there's a copy of Closer. I'm going to have a read of that. I might read it all and then buy it and then remove it from the shop. And then they go, oh, I really could do with a plop. I might just go for a poo. And then if they're old people, they go, oh, we should really stop for a cup of tea in it. So they can't work out the tea machine. So that'll take another 10 minutes. Before you know it, you'll be there for 35 minutes. And you'll still be there with your engine running, wondering why this is taking so long when you could have just used reverse. Please take that on board, ladies and gentlemen. Although, to be honest, most of the people listening to the cast, this here cast, will be familiar with this situation. And they'll also be familiar with reverse gear and, you know, sense, common sense. Now, I'm on a road called the A606. It's a very nice road between the town which I live in, Stamford, and another town called Oakham. where my wife comes from. And it's a hell of a road for driving, but unfortunately they've been digging it up lately. In the last 3 weeks, I've driven an awful lot of vehicles, and they've surprised me because I've been sad to see many of them be taken from my hands when I finished driving them. One of them is the Volvo XC60. I'm a bit late to the party on this car, never managed to make the launch, and just haven't got round to driving it since it came out. Managed to drive one, 5-pot manual. Manual, which was weird, getting in a car like that, an SUV that's quite high and mighty, with a 6-speed manual box, just feels a bit strange. But I tell you what, the handling and the way the suspension is set up on that car, the comfort and the steering, the direct steering, it's phenomenal. I'm really impressed with it. It makes the XC90 just look like an old grand piano. Another car I'm deeply impressed with, drove the Vauxhall Ampera a couple of weeks ago. Me and Tiff were doing it for fifth gear, and Tiff tried to brake it as usual. And although a few warning symbols came up and it started chiming a little bit, it didn't brake. I think it's a great car to drive. It looks better than any other Vauxhall in their current range. And this is the irony of the situation. Normally, hybrids and electric cars, that kind of thing, look very oddball and unattractive. The Ampera, Volt, whatever you want to call it, I think it hits the nail on the head. It looks so futuristic, but really cutting edge as well. So whether it was powered by petrol or not, I think it looks fantastic. There's this strange little two-tone around the window frames, which really work. So well done. Well done, America. I think that car's made in Detroit as well. So proves that Detroit can actually make something good these days. The other car that I just can't stop fantasising over, frankly, is the Mercedes C63 AMG. Goodness gracious me, I love that car. In estate form, it's just so hard to beat. And actually, I think it's pretty good value. It's $52,000 starts at, or thereabouts, and I would have one any day of the week over an M3 or Audi equivalent. I just think it's so docile when you want it to be, and comfortable and composed. But that 6.2 engine is just such a sledgehammer. It makes you feel like you are driving a four-seater saloon supercar. It's just a wonderful device. I'm going to be keeping an eye on the values of those in the next 5 years. Hopefully they'll come down to sub 10, and hopefully they don't mind being converted to LPG either. So yeah, I'm going to be doing shorter podcasts these days because unless people really want to, I feel like I might be boring people. So I'm going to upload this one just to remind people that I do podcasts and I do still care. And maybe some feedback through Twitter or something like that would be greatly appreciated. You can get me on Twitter at carpervert, no space, all lowercase, I think. Yeah. P.S. I'm thinking of buying a tractor. I know it's a bit mad, but I've always had a bit of a thing for old tractors, and I missed the opportunity, to be honest, to buy a Porsche tractor about 3 or 4 years ago, and I've always had a hankering, so try and talk me out of why I should do that. And in other news, I'm still sort of looking for a Mark 1 Granada, but it has to be German/Belgian/Danish spec. I want a two-door saloon, not a coupe, a two-door saloon base model. They didn't make them in England. Really fancy one of those. If my wife's listening, I don't really want one. It's not really something I'm into. I'm just saying it. Just saying it for bravado. Right, people, I'm going to sign off now whilst I'm grasping my heated steering wheel. What a great device. I have to say, sometimes technology is a pain in the back door, but heated seats I'm a big fan of, especially in winter. And I'm also a massive fan of the Jaguar Land Rover heated steering wheel. Within 10 seconds, it just feels like you've got the... I don't know, it just feels like you've held your hands next to an open fire and then grasped the wheel. It really does make a big difference. right, I'm signing off now, I'm going into a 20 mile an hour speed limit, which is an advisory speed limit, so in actual fact it's not really a speed limit. I don't quite understand where you stand on that, but I know that you can't do more than 30 in a 20. Bye guys, take care, love you, and please drive safely out there. I've still got a clean license. I hope it stays that way. You know when sometimes you buy an album, a music album, and there's like a hidden track at the end? Well, this is that hidden track, I suppose. I've just had a thought before I signed off that when I went on this New Year's Eve weekend that I was telling you about, which involved Billy Joel on repeat and being snowed in Exmoor, there were some other weird things that happened. One of them was there was a really old arcade machine in the corner of the pub, one of those tabletop, old-fashioned early 80s ones where you look down and sit either side. There was a Space Invaders, one of those, and I tried to buy it off the guy even though it didn't work, and he refused to sell it. And I got up to about 250 quid, which was a lot for a non-working one back then. And he still refused. So me and my mates tried to plot a plan how we could walk it out of the pub without him knowing and put it in the back of my mate's Rover. Nevertheless, that didn't work. We didn't nick it. I don't thief. I don't believe in it. It was just a silly, drunken notion. And the other thing I remember about that time was, I'm not sure it was a Corolla Verso. I think it might have been a Toyota of some sort. But the thing is, it wasn't memorable in any way. So what's the big Toyota thing? It's not... it's on the tip of my tongue. Previa. Is it a Previa? Might be a Prev. Big thing. 7-seat. Really soulless. Yeah. Anyway, we did a bit of green laning in it. It was a long time ago. I was foolish.